Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa.南无观世音菩萨，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨。南无佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿毗瓦帝咪，娑迦多巴嘎瓦达达摩，达曼那玛萨咪。Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, turn to page one. Then we will commence the puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhassaBuddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā Vairamani Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmiādinādhāna vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi mūsāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmiSura meraya majapama datana Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Now we chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambuddhangPujayami Mamunodang Tanda Sambarayutena Dupenahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyangtang Pujabajana Motamang Vannaganda Gunopetang Etang Kusuma SantatinPujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe ปูเจมีบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเจตุโมกังปูปังเมลายติยตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุโมตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุโมตมังอาดิวาเสทุโนบันเตปุจานังปริกาปิตังอานุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุโมตมัง Now we chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma.That we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya.Leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya further strengthen until they become our powers, sharing and merits, sharing and transform merits to all beings.May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi.Dhammang pujemi Sanghang pujemi Okay, you can be seated. Then you can get ready for meditation. Just now, sorry for delaying. Because somebody came and see me, Sister Yip's friend.She is from Thursday class, and the friend is a Christian, going through some bad patches in life. She has experienced some first noble truth reality that make her so sad, so unhappy and depressed. But being a Christian, more difficult, not so easy. anyway.If you got condition or time afterwards, I may share a bit with you all so that you understand. That's why in my seminar book I wrote there, suffering is very real. and a lot of living being in this world. If you don't have the understanding of life, you will suffer, you will be afflicted when you confront certain life reality. Okay, now you just go ahead with your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 15 to 20 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We chant together. Samantha Chakawalesu Atragacantu Devata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Hiti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Ija Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Samditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yatidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Ahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Tonight, maybe we will not do Diamond Sutta, huh? I just finished my this 27 November transcript, the final proofreading and check. So maybe I will share with you all first. I don't think I share with Tuesday class on this particular topic. It was based on a whooping since Sunday class sharing. The title is the 36th lesson of the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta. This one is a very interesting transcript. Yeah, at that time, there were causes and conditions that enable this particular transcript to be developed. Somehow, that day, the condition was so beautiful. Then I delivered the sharing. I read to you some of the subheading. Dhamma sharing by Brother Teo. So it covers the topic of what is the purpose of meditation. The mind must have no dwelling. Only truth and wisdom liberates the mind. Meditation is not about sitting only. Then I have my closing remark, Brother Teo's closing remark, which was a very good summary of what has been shared. Then I realized people used to ask me, say, Brother Teo, they ask, who are you? Yeah, I never put my bio data inside all this transcript. And people don't know who am I when they read the book. Then they ask, and they also don't know how to tell them. They only know it's Brother Teo, you come for the class. And then people got funny idea. They want to know your background before they decide to come or not to come. So after giving it some reflection, I decided to put a very simple bio data. I send this to those who usually invite me for Dhamma talk and all those things. So I will read it to you so that next time the transcript come out, you know where to find them. It's on the content page at the bottom. Bio data of Brother Teo. Brother Teo graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. That was about 46 years ago. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experience with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death and all mental suffering, to become a more virtuous, noble, and wiser human being. He gives talks and holds meditation classes and retreats, and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers and places that invite him. So this is the bio data, so at least you have something. Then the preface is just to let people know the history behind the transcript. Then the acknowledgement is for you all to rejoice, because only Kayanamita Fund can fund the printing of this transcript and Dhamma books that I spoke on. So preface is very simple. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that all Dhamma friends, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of these enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. As these notes were mostly compiled based on a direct transcript on the recording of the 36 lesson, Six Patriarch Platform Sutta class talk dated 27 November 2016, which was quite recent, about 1.5 months ago. The text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first, before reading the transcript note. To listen to the recording, you can download the talk at this link. Yeah? So our Dropbox link is there. Alternatively, you can contact Brother Suyat at the email for further details. Then later on, the transcript on the Bodhisattva Way, yeah? There are three more coming. Then there's another one, Thursday class, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 2. Last time you have one is Part 1. So this Part 2, there's a delay of 3 years because we really forgot about it. Then somehow 2 weeks ago, I managed to have the condition to retrieve it, and my wife asked me to check through certain things that she wants to put in the store. Then that one was also a good one meant to be. So when these two transcripts come out, it will benefit a lot of cultivators and you all too. And regarding the three Bodhisattva Way, yeah, I will combine them into one book. Yeah. And that one, I will have to, alternatively, they have to contact Hui Rong. You still got the file. Naga recorded file, ni hai yu sa. Most of the Tuesday class. Pusata, ingkai yu la. But don't worry, I think we are going to... Oh, did I send to you the website? Naga website. Jinhao's sister supposed to help us to do up the website. 没有啊, or I forward to you. That one is very important. When the condition arises, is if Jinhao's sister is an expert in this website thing. I think Yun Chan, you received that. So he checked with the sister. Then the sister said, I'm the one doing this for people. Then Jinhao discussed with her. And she told Jinhao, if that's the case, she can help us to do it. And she want to offer her service and do it for us free. Normally, you have to pay about 1,500 to 2,000 to get a domain up. But this one, she's offering it free. And Jinhao was very kind. He wanted to sponsor the first year fee for hosting the website. So at least it will enable us to have a, I don't call it a blog, a domain address where we can store all our talk and the publication so that people can access it easily. Then we don't have to rely on Dropbox. I was told recently after 2 years they delete the link. So somebody key in part 2, which was 26 September 2013, he key in, then she WhatsApp me, Bratio, the link say no more, cannot be retrieved because no more in the Dropbox. Limit, No, that one is a Thursday class one. We never delete one. But it's no more there. Oh. Oh, 一年, Oh. Already very big, But I was lucky because I didn't know I used my old computer upstairs. This computer actually is like, they call dinosaur already. He keep on showing me the notice. Your computer no more supported. But I don't know what and what and what. Even the, they call it the new one, the yellow and red color on, what you call that? No more supported by. You got Internet Explorer, then the other one is on. Chrome, huh? He said Chrome no longer support my dinosaur. Oh, no wonder. My computer is so old, when I try to update the Chrome, he said my memory, my ROM all not big enough. No, because it was old one. Yeah, it's based on the operating system, old one, then a window, but the window very low series. XP, yeah. I don't know, 95 or what. They keep on showing me that one. But that one very good, because the hard disk, I seldom store thing one. So my hard disk a lot of empty space. So all my Dropbox, I didn't know, because I try to listen to him, sometimes I just only I want to listen to what I spoke. I normally want to make sure it's clear or not. Then when I download it, surprisingly it went into my MP3, So all stored into my MP3, But my problem is, I cannot send it out. The file is too big. And there is no link. Only my MP3 can play out. So when the dinosaur die, I think it died. So I also don't know. Just some of them are 3 years old. Like the Bodhisattva vow, 2nd of January 2015, 2 years plus, sorry. They couldn't get the link already. But I sent out the Dropbox link. Ponchi told me, no more. Then I went back to my this dinosaur computer. Oh, I saw it in the MP3, No, one person enough, but it's not cheap. No need. If you download, you no need space on. It can play on the Dropbox one. You only download on the Dropbox. It allow you to play. It don't allow you to store because your memory is up. So what happened is there is a fee, which is about $100 over a year, which is not cheap because every month he collect $10. Not to say we cannot afford. But nowadays, data is so cheap, memory is so cheap, there's no reason to pay him for all this. Well, you host a website, he give you 100 gig. 100 gig and forever is yours inside there. All of your whatever sharing or what. Yeah, hosting fee, 200 something ringgit, not US dollar. It's so much cheaper. Then it can be a permanent web domain where we can use it. I intend to use the domain name as Brother Theo's Kayamita Grouping. If it's too long, I will cut short it. No, don't. That one, after a while, they want to charge you, create a lot of complication. This one, once and for all. This is like any company's domain, your address. Then you can actually use it, which is better. So what I will initially use is, I will use your name first for some of these transcripts that come up. Our domain not just set up. I think if we need to finalize it, then 2 months time, should be able, the sister say, give her at least 2 months, she can do it up for us. So that is fast enough. I'm very happy with that. Most importantly, we know somebody who can do it for us. That is more important. So with that resolve, my next one is to set up a group of people to help me look into all this. I will do the whatever write-up that is needed, and I will discuss with you all. So what I have in mind, your Jin Hao's sister is involved, I will put Jin Hao in. The main one. Then Brother Teo has been helping me last time, also want to do this for me, and Pamasuri. They also can make use of this to help store our activity. Understand or not? So that it is updated in the website. Then they don't have to every time gathering of Kayamita, got to go and look for picture, look for all this all over, then try to recall our activity and program. So once they are in the website, we just do it. Then we can retrieve everything very easily. Then a lot of things we can just tell Kanyamita, you go there. The Dropbox link is all not necessary anymore. You can have it in MP3. You can download. You can upload. And you can give your sharing or comment or whatever. Then I had in my Sui An. Sui An also helped a lot. And Mi Fong. So the five of them will be the main one that will help me to coordinate the whole thing. Then when it's up, maybe they take turn to maintain the website. Because sometimes you have to update the website. Otherwise, your website become like dinosaur. So you go in, it can be 2-3 years ago. And there's no updating and all those things. So if you want to set up a website, we have to do it properly with sincerity so that we can update it properly. But don't have to be every day. Like every month, you update a bit. Or when there is a need, you update them. So this is the website part. So with that, we go back to our sharing. Our sharing is more important. This sharing will explain to you very clearly what meditation is all about. And it will clear up a lot of wrong understanding earlier on. Then also, this Friday, there's a talk in Klang. The topic that they requested is very good. It's something like the meaning and importance of enlightenment for us to walk the samsaric life. The meaning and importance of enlightenment for us to walk the samsaric life means to exist in samsara if you don't have wisdom, which is the enlightenment, it will be very difficult. And they want to know what is the meaning of enlightenment. How is it like to be enlightened? Then also the importance of that word enlightenment. How can it help you to understand life, to live life and all these things? So it's a very interesting topic, something which is very useful, and those who can understand, they will benefit tremendously from it. Okay, now we continue. After the preface is the acknowledgement of thanks. Is the donor's sincere intention, so you all should rejoice. Donors are our Kayanamita fund. That this Dhamma transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends of Kayanamita who had donated and or helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be given to Sister Ponchi or Chi Guat Yen, who had taken this great initiative to develop her draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts, and may it also pave the way for the existence of causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soonest possible. Then after that, we go into the sharing proper. Of course, we have the pre-puja. So pre-puja starts. Then the instruction is, compose your mind, develop your faith, and then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we shall pay our respect first before we start the pre-puja. So our usual pre-puja salutation to Sakyamuni, then Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then after that we chant, renew our precepts. Then we commence our Dhamma sharing. So Dhamma sharing by Brother Teo. Today is 27 November 2016. The date of that talk, or sharing. We will continue with our 36th Patriya Platform Sutta class. Please turn to page 206, and we will continue from there. The master instructed the assembly, good knowing advisor, the singer conducts samadhi. This word is a bit new for most people. Is the constant cultivation of maintaining a direct, straightforward mind in all places. See, Huineng also knew. This is what daily mindfulness is all about. So I bracket and say this is very important. Whether one is walking, sitting, standing, or lying down. As the Vimalakirti Sutta said, the straightforward mind is the Bodhi Mandala. The straightforward mind is the pure land. The Six Patriya Platform Sutta's opening statement is very profound. It's exactly the same as what I have been sharing with you all this while, except they use a different name, single conduct samadhi, here to express it. How do they define the single conduct samadhi? According to Master Huineng, it's the constant cultivation. But in the text, they use the word practice. Practice is not such an appropriate word because when you practice something, it's repetitive and mechanical in nature. But when you cultivate, it develops understanding. So constant cultivation of maintaining a direct, straightforward mind in all places means the constantly meditative and ever mindful. This is what heedfulness is all about. So the definition is the same, although Huineng used different word. He used constant cultivation. Then straightforward mind means the true mind. He doesn't use the thought, the mundane mind. So when you are ever mindful, you are also without thought. That's why it's a straightforward mind, very sincere, very true, just silent. The single conduct samadhi is actually the cultivation of the continuity or stability of mindfulness to develop the meditation, which is equivalent to heedfulness as taught by the Buddha. Master Huineng explained it this way. If your mind can maintain a direct, straightforward, silent mind in all places, whether one is walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, it includes the in-between movement, that is whatever activity or movement between the four postures. Then he quoted, as stated in the Vimalakirti Sutta, the straightforward mind is the Bodhi Mandala. The meaning is very important. Bodhi is wisdom, and Mandala is a way place. So Bodhi Mandala is a way place where you cultivate your wisdom. So Bodhi Mandala, the direct, straightforward, silent mind, is your true mind, or pure land. And this is very good and very profound Dhamma. So now you understand, the Huineng Six Patriarchs teaching is also very profound, and it brings you direct to the practice via the silent mind, the true mind. He don't go through the thought process. There is no more thought-based meditation. That's why his teaching is very unique. And it penetrates the Dhamma very fast. Because it takes you direct to the true mind. He don't want you to waste time on the thinking mind or mundane mind. The Vimalakirti Sutta is a very unique sutta. But it's a Mahayana sutta. You will not find it in the Theravada text. The Bodhisattva Vimalakirti is a very wise and very unique Bodhisattva. He likes to come in the form of a lay person. According to the sutta, he had met not less than 90 million Samasambuddha. And he has a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding. Then he said, do not speak of straightforwardness with the mouth only. It means lip service. That's why verbal knowledge is not real wisdom. If you cultivate verbal knowledge, you will not realize the enlightenment. You can never progress. So do not speak of straightforwardness with the mouth only, while the mind and cultivation are crooked. Do not speak of single conduct samadhi without maintaining a straightforward mind. Simply just cultivating, keeping a straightforward mind and have no attachment to any dhamma is what you are supposed to do. The confused person is attached to the mark of dhamma while holding on to the single conduct samadhi and saying, I am sitting, or I sit unmoving, and falseness does not arise in my mind. This is the single conduct samadhi. Such an interpretation serves to make him insensate and obstruct the causes and conditions for attaining the way. Because if you hold on to the concept and idea of that single forward mind, you can never realize the way. So this is how a lot of cultivators couldn't progress or penetrate the Dhamma. Because they like to hold on to knowledge, the concept of meditation and other things. But if you don't cultivate, you can never understand. So when you don't understand, you cannot put it into cultivation. That's why cultivation has to be done with understanding. Then he go on. He said, good knowing advisor, the way must penetrate and flow. How can it be impeded? If the mind does not dwell in Dhamma, the way will penetrate and flow. This one very easy to understand. The mind that dwells in Dhamma is itself bondage. True or not? If you dwell in something, means your mind is dwelling on something, it is in bondage. Understand? It will create attachment, clinging, grasping. To say that sitting and moving is correct is to be likened to Venerable Sariputta, who sat quietly in the forest but was reprimanded by Bodhisattva Vimalakiti. Do you know Venerable Sariputta? He is the chief disciple of Sakyamuni Buddha with foremost wisdom. In this respect, there was a passage in the Vimalakiti Sutta. It seems there was an incident when Venerable Sariputta was sitting quietly in the forest meditating. Then Bodhisattva Vimalakiti passed by and saw him doing the meditation. Then he spoke to Venerable Sariputta. He asked Sariputta, what are you doing? Sariputta answered, I'm cultivating meditation and I'm doing meditation. And the way Bodhisattva Vimalakiti reprimanded him actually woke him up. He said to Venerable Sariputta, who told you that meditation is just sitting unmoving like that? You understand? I read on, you will understand clearer. He then explained the real meditation to Sariputta. If your mind is quiet, peaceful, still and silent when you are in a stable posture, that is not meditation. You agree or not? A lot of people try to get this state, they cannot. Why did Vimalakiti say this is not meditation? Why? Based on your understanding, why? Most people sit for what? To develop the peace, isn't it? The calmness and all those things. But why did Vimalakiti say this is not meditation? You don't want to answer, then I read to you the answer. Vimalakiti said, that is trying to bring forth the condition for the mind to be very calm. So indirectly, you are seeking peace, quietness, and silence instead of what? Wisdom. Understand? Meditation as taught by the Buddha is to develop the insight, to realize the wisdom. But you sit to develop peacefulness, calmness, the silent mind, the still mind, without false thinking. Then you think you're special. That one will not free your mind. You will not develop wisdom. So this one, you need to understand. So Vimalakirti told Sariputta, you are experiencing the conditioned mind. The real meditation is in the midst of life itself, in the midst of activity, when you can still be peaceful, silent, still, and unaffected by whatever life situation or condition. That is the real meditation. Now you understand? Not all the sitting, walking, peace, and all this thing. The jhana, all this thing. No use. At that time, Venerable Sariputta has not developed that type of understanding yet. In the sutta, it was mentioned there was an incident where there was a very famous great being whom all the Buddhas of the entire universe respect. They will send their representative, or they themselves go with their disciple to pay respect and make offerings. But because this being that they are supposed to pay their respect and gratitude, if I'm not wrong, is Bodhisattva Vimalakirti, is extremely wise. Hence, they have to be very careful. At that time, everybody was trying to suggest who should go. Then everybody pointed at Venerable Sariputta because he was the wisest among the Buddha's disciples. Venerable Sariputta, when he heard of Bodhisattva Vimalakirti's name, straight away he told the Buddha and the congregation, no, I cannot go because I'm of no match for his wisdom. He had reprimanded me before. Finally, they had no choice but to seek out Manjushri Bodhisattva, Vensu Pusa, who is also foremost in wisdom. For Manjushri Bodhisattva had reached a very high state of cultivation. He has completed the perfection of wisdom. That was what the sutta was all about. That is the reason why Hui Ning mentioned here, the mind that dwells in Dhamma is in self-bondage. To say that sitting unmoving is correct is like Sariputta who sat quietly in the forest but was reprimanded by Bodhisattva Vimalakirti. So this is the story behind. If you have not read the Vimalakirti Sutta, you may not understand. Now we shall go into the commentary and see what Master Xuanhua said in his commentary. Master Xuanhua's commentary, you should not speak of directness and act dishonestly. If you greet rich people with smile and compliment with saying welcome, welcome, in Mandarin is huan ying, huan ying, when in fact it's not the person you are welcoming, but their money, power and status instead. So that is flattery. You speak of single conduct samadhi, but you act improperly. Such hypocrisy betrays a cultivator's mind. But if you cultivate keeping a direct, straightforward mind, a sincere mind, a silent mind, then your mind is the Bodhi Mandala. You should manage all your affairs with a straightforward, direct, sincere mind with no attachment. A stupid person gives rise to Dhamma attachment. Hence they will comment and they will say, I sit here unmoving and I have no false thinking. This is equivalent to the single conduct samadhi. Master Xuanhua said, such a person is foolish. He is completely wrong. One who thinks this way turns into a vegetable. I don't know why he used the word vegetable. In Mahayana Zen monastery, if you sit like a statue, not moving like a rock, do you know what they will do to you? The Zen master will come and whack you and tell you, we have enough Buddha statue here, we don't need another one. So you understand, eh? When you sit there unmoving, no false thinking, no thought, what are you doing? If you don't inquire, you fall into that trap, I tell you. You are like the statue, isn't it? The statue is also unmoving, also no thought. But I think what Master Xuanhua meant could be this. When a person suffers a stroke or when he is no longer able to, when he is no longer having control over his physical senses and body, he is said to be a vegetable. It means You cannot have any movement or activity physically. You may be conscious, but you cannot move or talk. In that sense, it could be a simile. But the actual meaning is they meditate until there is no more thought, which means their mind is in absorption or in one-pointedness, energy field, concentration, which is a conditioned state. Then they will say their mind is unmoving and without any false thought or thinking, without the heedless thinking or mental thinking. Even in that state, Master Huining said, it is not the real meditation. So you have to be very careful when you meditate. That's why I said, when you meditate without understanding, you can become gullible, especially so if you go to retreat. With all the tranquil setting, the peacefulness, and you do a lot of sitting and a lot of formal meditation until your mind becomes very calm, very still, very silent, no more false thinking, no more movement, in very strong absorption or one-pointedness, jhana, etc., thinking that you have done well. Then you believe you have progressed, and you equate those experiences to enlightenment or awakening. You are deluded if you think that way, because that is a conditioned mind held in energy field, hence not a free mind. That's why for those who understand, especially the Zen master, they will tell you this. We don't need another Buddha statue here because we have enough of them. And have you forgotten the purpose of meditation, of you meditating? So the next subheading is, what is the purpose of meditation? So you all know that the purpose of meditation is what? To develop wisdom. Not all those funny meditative states and enjoy the bliss and the calmness and the tranquil setting and all those what they call fantastic meditation mind state. So what is the purpose of meditation? Let us now go deeper into this topic to develop a clearer understanding of what is the purpose of meditation. And what is meditation according to the Buddha? Come, give it a try. So just now your answer, very good. So that day I asked, what is the first purpose? Just now I heard somebody mention something like to see the truth. Who was it? Miss Lee. To see the truth. What does that mean? To see the truth means to realize the wisdom. Because only wisdom frees the mind. Nothing else. Just like what I have always explained to you all. Even if you can sit in meditation to experience all of the fantastic meditation, the calmness, the stillness, until you have got no more thought, no more false thinking. So what? After you come out of that meditation, you still need to go back to life. Then you will become heedless again because you have not developed the wisdom and the understanding via the direct seeing to root out your defilement and free your mind as yet. That's why in the midst of life, you still cannot go. Now you understand why you go for meditation. Do not be gullible. Don't always believe what other people tell you. Nowadays, there are a lot of meditation being taught, some very well known internationally. And they have this usual 10-day retreat. You join this retreat and due to the rather conducive environment or condition there, the beautiful setting and nature, etc., your mind will become very calm, very peaceful, and you can experience a lot of good meditative state. Hence, for the first two occasions, a lot of people would endorse it. That this particular meditation is fantastic and very good. But then they didn't know that it's just a conditioned state. It's like you experience some beautiful mind states because of the condition there, so on. Meditation as taught by the Buddha is not about just seeking calmness and peacefulness. It's about insight into the characteristics of nature to develop wisdom, so as not to be deluded by the phenomenal world, not to be entangled by the delusion that arises in your mind when you are lacking in understanding and wisdom. Understanding this is very important and very fundamental to the whole cultivation. And this is what Huining is trying to point out to all those people in his Black Palm Sutta teaching. Can you all follow? If you can follow, then it's good, and I rejoice. Otherwise, a lot of people will not be able to accept what I said earlier on. All along, I've been telling you the same message. If you go for retreat just to sit and develop all the fantastic and beautiful meditative mind state, the jhanas, the tranquility, the stillness, the calmness, until your mind is like no more false thinking, no more heedlessness, no more thought, then you think you have done very well because you experience fantastic mind states. You see nimitta, you can lock onto it, you can build out all the energy field and develop all the psychic ability to see images, which you may think are your past life. And a lot of others related things, like you can read mind and see your past, etc. But to the Buddha, this is not the meditation he taught. That is why he warned the monk at that time. He said, if you train your mind to do psychic and perform psychic, you are violating the monk's precepts of Patimokkha, to show off and impress people with your ability. That's why for those who understand, they will not pay attention to all these phenomena. No point, because without wisdom, your mind can still be entangled. You can still be deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactile feel and think. The phenomena world still has power over you, and you can still be afflicted when you confront the eight types of First Noble Truth reality, starting from birth, old age, sickness, and death, leading to separation. When you are with people whom you don't like, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, expectations in life are not met, etc. You also fail to understand who you are and what you are. The five aggregates of form and mind, they appear so real to you, and you grasp, cling, and hold on to them. The Buddha summarized all of suffering as your self-delusion that conditioned you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, the so-called human being. We are thinking. Those are what you are. That's why he said in the final summary, the five grasping aggregate or upadana khanda is dukkha. So this understanding is very important and very fundamental to understanding meditation. If you meditate and you still cannot understand who you are, what these five aggregates of form and mind are, and how when you attach, cling and grasp, suffering comes to be, then you are not doing it right. If you cannot insight into phenomena to realize the impermanent leading to suffering state, and because they are impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating, hence is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I, and therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. Hence if your meditation does not lead to such understanding or awakening, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then it's just like what we call externalist type of meditation or Wai Tao. Those who develop this type of meditation are more interested in the psychic field, in energy field, and in seeking out fantastic meditation experience. Okay, we shall move on to page 207, third paragraph. This is in the commentary. A stupid person gives rise to Dhamma attachment. I sit here unmoving and I have no false thinking. This part we have gone through. This is a single conduct samadhi. So people who say that, he is completely wrong. One who thinks this way turns into a vegetable. We were here. Then we move on. The way shall flow without obstruction. What does it mean? If you have wisdom, you will know how to accord and flow. You will not resist anything. If you stop your thought, you turn into a dead ash and rotten wood and become useless. See, this is what meditation is all about. Stop your thought means what? When do you want to stop your thought? You want to force it not to think, isn't it? Correct? Well, you cannot stop it. Eh? So what you do? They go and focus. They go and concentrate. That's why they use method and technique. You understand now? And this is not meditation. This is suppression. You suppress your thought. You fix it. You focus and concentrate so you cannot think. That is not meditation. That is suppression. That's why people cannot understand. So I read on. Stop your thought means what? Yes, very good. And sadhu. If you try to stop your thought, it means you are suppressing them or controlling them. This understanding is very important. You cannot suppress and control your thought. The question is, who is controlling? Who is suppressing? Yeah? Who? The thought. Understand? Huh? So if the thought which says, I don't want to have any thought because it makes me heedless and think a lot, so I have to stop the thought. So who is saying all this? The thought. So the thought wants to suppress. The thought wants to control, not understanding that the controller is the control. Their thought is trying to control thought. Thought is trying to suppress thought. How can you do that? It's like you are trying to control yourself. That is clearly suppression. You understand that? When you have anger, you don't want to be angry. You try to suppress your anger, isn't it? Just like what I shared there that day. If you don't have violence and anger, there is no need for suppression and control. But if you have violence, you have anger, emotion and fear, then you try to control them. Means you don't want to get angry. Is that meditation? You are suppressing, isn't it? You don't have wisdom, you still cannot deal with it. So that's why. But if you have violent anger, emotion and fear, and you try to control it yourself, what are you trying to do? You are being stupid, isn't it? Because the fact is, you are violent. You are emotional. You have selfishness and you have fear. That's why you must cultivate until you have developed the wisdom to liberate your mind. Then there is no need for control and suppression. Then naturally, when you have the wisdom, there is no need for any control or suppression of the thought. Because thought is just thought. Like what I have told you all before. Thought is neither good or bad, just like money. Then why do you say money is the source of all evil and thought is the one that caused you all the heedlessness? Is this the reason why you want to control and suppress the thought? That's wrong. But it is the use of money that is more important. Or the use of thought that is more important. If you have wisdom, there is no more problem. You don't have to control. You don't have to suppress. Thought can just arise due to response to memory. And what is thought? Thought is condition arising, dependent originating, impermanent and not real. If you grasp and cling and hold, it leads to suffering. Meaning you grasp and cling at the wrong thought. But if you don't grasp and don't cling and understand that thought is just an instrument for you to use to live life, then it will be different because you will know how to use it appropriately with wisdom, with understanding. Then what happens? Thought becomes your friend. It will serve you well. Then you can use it to arise the right thought, the wholesome thought, following Noble Eightfold Path based on right view and right understanding, which is wisdom. Then thought becomes wholesome. Thoughts become beautiful. Then you don't have to control thought. When there is wisdom, there is understanding. There is no movement. Because it doesn't deludedly latch on anymore. It doesn't cling. It doesn't have to think anymore. Because there is no more fear, worry, anxiety and delusion. It understands. It sees things as they are. It accords and flows. And it can be with all things. No more rigidity, no more resistance. Thing is just the way it is. That's why with this understanding, the whole of meditation and cultivation become very different. Now you understand? Sadhu. That's why all of meditation usually start off with this wrong understanding. When you don't have the correct understanding, you will do it wrongly because you think thought is the problem. Thought is the one that makes you heedless, that creates the division and all those things. But you do not understand that all those division and heedlessness come from your inner delusion. Without delusion, the thought will not become wrong thought. Understand? So the culprit is the delusion, not the thought. Understand? That's why a lot of people blame the thought. Blame money. It has nothing to do with money. You know how to use money. Money is good. Can be beautiful. So all these are very important. Ayo, this handphone, very fast it run off. No? So when it run off, I got to go back to that page. Next time I must keep it intact. Okay. Well, we have covered quite a lot. Page 9. Remind me. We finished page 9. Page 10. Page 10. Okay. We finished even page 10. After you come out of that meditation, you still need to go back to life. Then you will become heedless again because you have not developed the wisdom and the understanding via the direct seeing to root out your defilement and free your mind as yet. That's why in the midst of life, you still cannot cope. Now you understand why you go for meditation. Do not be gullible. Don't always believe other people. What other people tell you. We finish until here. Okay. I talk about those calm mind. We even finished page 11. Yes. The transcript that is going to come out hasn't come out yet. I sent to you to help in the editing. But people has done it, don't worry. That is the latest transcript, our 27 November. Panchi volunteered after she heard. She told me, Brother Teo, if nobody volunteer, I will do it. That's why she did it so fast. And the condition was such, it came out beautifully because she did it verbatim. That's why I find it so easy to edit. I read on. But to the Buddha, this is not the meditation he taught. That's why he warned the monk, if you finish this one, Patimokkha one also. We already finished page 12. Even page 13. I think I got where we stopped. About suppression. You don't have violence and anger or this thing. But the fact is, you are violent, you are emotional, you are selfish, and you have fear. That's why you must cultivate until you develop the wisdom to liberate your mind. Then there is no need for control and suppression. Then naturally, when you have the wisdom, there is no need for all this control and suppression of the thought. I finished this also. Thought is thought and all things. I think we were here. But if you don't grasp and don't cling and understand that thought is just an instrument for you to use to live life, then it will be different because you will know how to use it appropriately with wisdom, with understanding. We finished this one also. viewer here. That's why all of meditation usually starts off with the wrong understanding. When you don't have the correct understanding, you will do it wrongly because you think thought is a problem. Thought is the one that makes you heedless, that creates the division and all those things. But you do not understand that all this division and heedlessness come from your inner delusion. We were here. If you have wisdom, all this will not arise. Like the Buddha said, without the spiritual faculties, the mental hindrance will arise. And when the mental hindrance are there, the evil roots are there. That is how thought can make you evil. Brings about downfall and brings about negativity of mind states, which include all of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation and insecurity, etc. They all come from your delusion, nothing else. Hence meditation has to be developed with understanding. It is about understanding and wisdom to liberate the mind. Always remember, don't try to control or suppress anything. Think it just the way it is. Develop wisdom. That's why mindfulness is very important. To be mindful is to be aware without thought. Only then can you be in the state of silence to see clearly via the silent mind. To see clearly how this mundane mind that is entangled with wrong view arises the causes and conditions for you to be evil, for you to become heedless. And through that understanding, you just have to straighten your views and reverse all this retrospectively. With that understanding, you are no longer deceived, no longer deluded. Then the five aggregate of form and mind will become different because it now understands how it becomes entangled, how it gets itself drawn into all this via delusion. Hui Ning is very wise. He straight away knew this is where the problem is. Almost all meditator and cultivator go into energy field and they love that type of meditation because they can straight away become calm, peaceful, no more thought, no more forced thinking, enjoying the bliss, the piti, the sukha, the very strong energy and all those nimitta experiences, including all the byproduct of this type of meditation, which is thought-based and psychic-based. Then like the Zen master said, even Hui Ning also said, this is not the real samadhi. This is not the one that can bring forth the wisdom. This is the one that traps you. Must remember. This is the reason why in the Zen way place, if you go there and sit like a statue and every day doing the sitting and walking, then sit and sit and sit thinking that by doing so, by doing this so-called meditation, one day you will become enlightened. Then they will give you the frog analogy. We are telling you, if by sitting you can become enlightened, then all the frog would have become arahant, enlightened, because they also sit a lot. It is not the sitting, it's the development of wisdom. When the Zen master know that you are doing concentration or samatha meditation, they will come and hit you and tell you, we have enough Buddha statue here, we don't need another one. Now can you understand? That's why daily mindfulness is very important and it is key to the development of wisdom. The form of meditation, the retreat, can be useful for you to train your mind initially. But then the real meditation is life itself, daily mindfulness leading to the heedfulness. Can you maintain the silent mind, that type of so-called free mind that is in samadhi without control or suppression? The free mind through its own understanding and wisdom connected to the form and mind becomes beautiful because it is no longer deluded. Then that mind serves you well. It will listen to you. It will make you beautiful. Then you can use it to develop wholesomeness, cultivate virtue, goodness and love, so that you can become a blessing to all. This is what meditation is all about. This is what meditation is for. That is also the reason why I have always said, when you have developed the right meditation according to what the Buddha has taught you, he will bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right effort, right living, right livelihood, and right mindfulness and samadhi. If whatever you do in the name of meditation makes you more egoic after experiencing all the fantastic meditation, and it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation to transform you personality-wise, character-wise, and wisdom-wise, then you better check. Because that is not the meditation taught by the Buddha. If your emphasis is only on jhana, the calmness, the peacefulness and stillness, the fantastic nimitta experience, and all the other various types of fantastic manifestation of mind, when you reach those so-called deep samadhi or deep samatha concentration or absorption mind states, then it is a deviation, because that is not what the Buddha taught. What's the time now? Yeah? 10 minutes to 12. What? 10:12 already? Oh, means I have to rush a bit. Okay, we quickly summarize it, then we stop somewhere. The first 6 years before his enlightenment, the Buddha to be learned from all those teachers, those meditation, and he did all those energy field thought based meditation too. That's why he was still stuck and he knew. That is the reason why he left them and continued to seek on his own. In a similar way, Master Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch via his Platform Sutta, pointed out to you very clearly that this type of meditation is a deviation. Okay, with this, we shall move on. Maybe I will read this one, then we stop. 3.2.2. The mind must have no dwelling. The way should flow without obstruction. If you stop your thought, you turn into dead ash and rotten wood and become useless like another statue. You should instead produce that thought which is nowhere supported. You remember the Diamond Sutra that states the mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. In Mandarin, what do you call it? 心无挂碍,心无所住. Meaning, your mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. Can you have that type of mind? That is the real meditative mind. Your mind doesn't dwell on anything. The silent mind that is able to have the direct seeing will not dwell. Do you know how you dwell? What is dwelling? The Mandarin word is 住, which is a very good word. Dwell is like you live somewhere, like a place where you stay or dwell. Do you know how you dwell? Very good. If you know, that's very good. How do you dwell? Throughout the day, you arise thought, and you have been dwelling everywhere. Do you realize that? The moment you perceive something, you dwell there. Can you understand? Then the moment you perceive, you think. You become heedless again. That is why the silent mind is the meditative mind. And the silent mind, which is sati, is capable of direct seeing. What is the definition of sati? Sati is awareness before the knowing. What knows? Perception. The moment you perceive, you know. How do you know my voice? The moment you perceive it, you dwell here. Hence, you are not aware of the outside world. The moment you perceive the Buddha image at the back, that instant, your mind will dwell there. The worst is, when you dwell, you allow your conditioned mind to condition you into further thinking. Hey, this Buddha image is very nice, very beautiful. I wish I could have one. Where did you buy it? So this proliferation of thought, if you are not mindful and not aware, it already takes you off tension and make you heedless, lost in thought. You easily become heedless. And this is how you dwell. And this is how dwelling can make you heedless. So the mundane mind dwells everywhere because it constantly perceives and thinks. But when you have the silent mind, the true mind, it is just aware. It sees things as they are. It does not dwell That's why you can just be away, away, away in the midst of life. It just flows. Everything just flows. The mind and the phenomena as one, specific phenomenal awareness. It just flows. It doesn't dwell. But to live life, you have to arise your thought. And you have to perceive. But when you have the understanding and the wisdom, you can perceive without attachment, without accumulation, without dwelling on it, without getting lost in it. It just perceive, aware, aware, then perceive again, etc. That's what meditation is all about. That's the reason why I use to remind you all that you have to meditate until you can realize and understand all this so that you can produce a mind, a free mind that does not dwell anywhere. That is Zen. And that is meditation. And that is heedfulness or apamada. And you have to be in that state in the midst of life most of the time. That is why the real meditation is not what people think. It is not only about sitting quietly. 明白吗? Understand? So the real meditation is daily mindfulness. Okay, we stop here. Page 20. Can somebody help me to remember? Maybe I write on the whiteboard. Page 20, easier. So, next Tuesday we can continue. This topic is very beautiful. There is a lot more towards the end. Maybe when you go back, you can try to read it. I will try to send out to the Maitreya-mitta. But don't forward it, because we haven't finalized it. It's just the final draft before printing. Page 20. 36 lesson. Oh. The 6th patriarch. Platform Sutta. Okay. Oh, 10:30 already. Another 5 minutes on. Oh, still got 40 minutes. Oh. 那个快, that clock is fast. No wonder somebody told me. I thought I got 10 more minutes. But good. Based on what we have discussed, can you all understand? You can understand, it's very good. Because a lot of people got it wrong. That's why all this while I tried to explain this for many years, but I couldn't go into it because if I say all this, people will run away. Because all those fantastic concentration, jhana and all things, you say, this is not meditation. I tell you, a lot of people get very upset. Because they go all the way to retreat is to seek peacefulness. Understand? Calmness of mind. That's why they try so hard to have even a moment or a glimpse of it. Then you say, even you can do it until you are so calm, so peaceful, without false thinking, like you are enlightened in the retreat. So what? That is not meditation. Well, I tell you, a lot of people will get very upset and unhappy. But the truth is, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It's taught by a lot of people, but not by the Buddha. The Buddha's emphasis is wisdom, insight knowledge. You have to penetrate and insight into the characteristics of nature. You have to see every phenomenon in this world, whether it's physical, mental, or nature's phenomenon, having these characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering, non-self, and empty nature. If you cannot penetrate this, you cannot develop the wisdom. And after you awaken to this, that is just the beginning of wisdom. Then after that, you still need to reflect, contemplate, and deal with the defilement. But you already have a very, very important understanding. Because you understand the characteristic, then you realize not what you think. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate. Yeah, if it's impermanent, means what? It's not a permanent unchanging entity. Then all this arise and pass away, come and go. If I deludedly grasp, cling and hold and give meaning, then the sankhara thinking creates suffering. That's why sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, lead to suffering. Then you start to understand, oh, this is what the Buddha meant. If it's impermanent, I cannot cling, I cannot grasp. We are thinking just the way it is, dependent on condition, it arises. Causes and conditions like that, sad, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. If one thing your way, which is not nature's way, you will become afflicted. Yeah, everything follows this nature's law that governs life and existence. So whatever causes and condition that is already planted, the result will be definitely that pattern. Then if you want to change, you introduce them moment to moment. But it's only you alone against the entire existence. So you think it's easy to change? It's not easy to change. You better change yourself to accord and flow and become peaceful. Otherwise you become miserable. That's why you cannot want things your way. Wanting things your way is suffering. When you cannot get what you want, it's suffering. So life is very simple, very easy to comprehend. So when you penetrate the characteristic, you understand life. Then you will not be like before, deceived by the phenomenal world, thinking that everything is so real, so important to you, so precious to you. Just now, those who came earlier, you saw the lady there. Yeah? How many of you didn't notice? She came at about 7:30. We have another Dhamma friend, Thursday class, Sister Yip brought her. And Sister Yip tried to advise her because she got some issue with the First Noble Truth reality. And she was going through suffering and depression for many years because of what the husband did to her, according to her. So life is pretty miserable for her. A lot of suffering, a lot of unhappiness. Then she become very emotional. And she is a Christian. That's why very difficult to initially try to explain to him, because he has to approach it from the Christian ideology and concept. You know what she asked me or not? After I explained her, before I can even really explain her, she said, "Why is my husband like that?" I feel like telling her what now. You go and ask God lah. Understand? But I cannot, because he is in such bad shape. It's very pitiful, very not easy. That's why. Then I had to explain to her. I said, it's nothing to do with why your husband is like that. It's you. Understand? No? You understand? It's you yourself. Then finally I told her, if you love yourself, you understand yourself, then you will not have to go through this. But this is real stupidity, right? Making you so miserable, yet you cling on to the thing, hold on to the thing. He used the word, where he doesn't know much English, he only know Mandarin and Hokkien, and my Mandarin are past six, so I had to use finally Hokkien. Or is it Mkambon? You understand, no? How to say in Mandarin? Pukanyen. English is what? Actually, very difficult to find English. But he said, "I am so unhappy, is because Mkambwana." No, not can't accept. Oh, don't have that word. She cannot take it, understand? Her reason is, the thought keep on telling her, "I trusted my husband so much." Is it? Because when we married, we are both Christian now. That question never arises that he will break the commandment. No. So because of the trust, and the worst is it, the husband did it behind her back for many years, then the children knew about it, no. Dare not tell her, no. Scared she become miserable and cannot accept. Then when she came to know, oh, I tell you, that's why mkambon. What? Mkambon. In English is what? Cannot take it. No English word. Mkambon. Is that an English word? Pukanyen. So he felt so angry, you know, because she cannot accept that reality. Then I feel like telling her, you better ask your number one up there, or maybe he can explain to you. Then he said he's supposed to forgive. Then he actually, the cocoon of thought is making her miserable. She cannot see her. That's why I said, you cannot free yourself from that delusion. If you refuse to accept that reality and wake up, you will forever be caught in the cocoon. And he also knew he is in depression. He used the Mandarin word, 钻牛角尖. You know the meaning. It's people with depression do that. They, 钻 is like drilling. Niujiao, the horn of a niu is called an ox, or cow. And you keep on drilling around that area, that spot. And you cocoon inside there. And I told her, I said, nature give you a beautiful body and a mind to live life, to be happy, to be all those things, and you hold the key to your own life destiny. But why are you not happy? Why are you using it wrongly to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself so miserable? Why can't you wake up? If by doing that, it has caused you so much suffering and misery, why are you still holding on to that thing? I say, resolve it amicably and move on. Have your life. You are beautiful. Understand? There is so much more to life than to end up like that. So when they are deluded with the karmic thing, obstruction, they cannot see, they will get themselves entangled. Then at first I say, if I explain it through the nature's law of cause and effect, you reap what you sow, or law of karma, can you say, oh, you say last time before Christian, she was Tao, the Taoist. He said, you can accept. And I say, if I explain to you got karma last time you told the people, now you cannot back. He looked at me. He said, but God can help and all those things. I say, nothing to do with God. It's a nature's law. Whether God or not God, it is a nature's law. So all this is not easy to understand. So that's why, because it's a different faith. So finally, I have to use the other analogy. I say, if you are holding on to something that is burning you and tormenting you and making you miserable for years, you still don't want to put it down and wake up. That is your choice. It's your life, nothing to do with us. So I say, you got two choices in life. React, become miserable, and get angry, and throw all the tantrum, the anger, the unhappiness, the resentment. These are all evil root, make you evil. You become miserable. You cannot come out. But if you know that this is like a tool to help you live life, understand life, then use it appropriately to arise the right thought, the good thought, the love, the compassion, the gratitude, the kindness, the sincerity. Then your mind becomes beautiful, no more suffering. Then you can move on. But before you move on, you must resolve it amicably. Then she come to understand, because she didn't resolve it. 没有解决这个问题, that's why he keep on creating the thought for her to hold on. Then she quite smart also. She tell me what? I can just accept him as what he is, like you say, but don't have to divorce her. Him is that? She asked this type of question. I said, provided you understand. You cannot understand, whole day he is facing you, understand? And he continued to do things behind you, how? Then after the thought, that you should delude the illest thought, turn to another angle. He said, actually, I really don't trust him. He suddenly tell me, he said, he's not worth my trust because he did all those vice things and all those things. Then he said, his intention is to give him a chance, but to see it clearly so that he can die hard. See him. Si sing. Means he can give up straight away. Yeah. He can see the true color. Oh, I say like that. You are lying to yourself. Because you still refuse to wake up and walk out of this. You still want to get yourself inside. And you justify it by saying that I want to give him a chance to see how he really, really continue to do all this until I can completely, like the heart die. Si sing. You use the word si sing. So, not easy for leaving me. Then I told him coming obstruction. Yes. At this point of time, it's very difficult for you to listen. Because up there, the attachment, the clinging, the grasping, the holding on to that thought, and the anger, especially the anger, the hatred. I say this will become more and more intense if you don't know how to free and come out. Love yourself. That's why I end up by telling her, you must learn to love yourself. At first she told me what, no? Love yourself. She said, I don't know what I did is considered loving myself or not. You know what she did? She go and perm her hair, do all her hair, do, buy all those things. Means love himself, understand? Means spend the money. I said, this is not loving yourself. This is, you can say pampering yourself, but that is not love. Love is like you love your child, understand? You go all out to prevent the child from being harmed, understand? Then you are willing to sacrifice for that child and do whatever you can to protect that child, provide for the child. And that is loving the child. So you love yourself means you go out to prevent yourself from being hurt and harmed by people, understand? And willing to sacrifice yourself so that you will do whatever you can to free yourself from all this misery and suffering. And that is loving yourself, is it? Then he looked at me. She looked at me. Oh, not easy to love. When you don't understand, it's not easy to love. When you understand, I said, the moment you understand, no more. At first, he tell me one. No, let's say I agree, karma. You mean I have to endure it? Yeah. I have to accept it. Yeah. I say the acceptance first part is correct, but not to endure. The moment you understand, you are not subject to the suffering anymore. Karma cannot torment you anymore. But you understand this is what you did to people, and this is wrong, and you will never repeat this. But you don't want the condition to arise, so that in future you have this again. So the moment you understand, you're free. You no need to like endure it. Last time I did to people, now I have to pay back. Then you suppress again, you control. You be deluded. You know this is wrong. Then ask for forgiveness. Seek repentance. Then never to do this again. Then cultivate and avoid evil to good and move. And then gain back your life. That is what you're supposed to do. Okay, we end 10:30. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unforgiving grudge. Unforgiving grudge. Oh, very good. Come on. You hold on to your grudges, understand? Your anger. You cannot forgive. So this is something you can learn. Okay, we do our sharing of merits. Then we end. Oh, there's one sister who passed away. Susan what? Chong, the clang one. I think we will transfer merits and share whatever merits with her, we have with her. Because I remember I met her at Susan's New Year house, Dana. She was there to help. Then she got a stroke. Then recently passed away. Okay. We recall to mind all of the wholesomeness, meritorious action and goodness that we have done over the last 2 hours plus. Then we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May all this wholesomeness pave the way for causes and conditions for our kilometer sister Susan, even though she seldom join our class, but because of some affinity, so we also should regard her as part of the kilometer. May arise the causes and conditions for her to have the good life hereafter, and may she also have the causes and conditions to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma in her future life, so that she can develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, to live the noble life or the proper life of a true Buddhist. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, purify the mind, develop the appropriate wisdom and understanding so that she can have the good life. Then may she be well and happy in whatever realm or existence she may take birth in. Then may this wholesomeness to be shared by all beings throughout their existence. Okay, now we will go and develop the sharing and transfer merits to devas. Then after that, we will invoke the blessing for the nation too. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu lokasasana ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito ca fito bhavatu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and the worthy ones. Then we end. Yeah, you all can order from Yun Chan.